insane. That is one of the great comebacks in Calgary Flames history.
Welcome back to the Firestarter Podcast, episode 8 of the new season, and very pleased to welcome our guest today, Andrew Mangiapane. Andrew, how's it going, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
All right, great. Appreciate you doing this. Kind of a nice break, 4 days between games. I don't see that very often when it's not the bye week in the NHL, but I think duly needed for everybody to get a little rest. Did you get up to anything over the last few days?
Yeah, it was definitely good to get the rest in. Couple road trips, you know, we were on the road and all that. But yeah, I didn't really do too much. Couple days, just kind of stayed at home, hung out with the guys and all that. Did some grocery shopping, some laundry, just some household.
Just getting caught up.
Yeah, exactly. Just getting caught up on everything. And then the next 2 days we were here at practice. And, you know, it was good two practice days that were well needed. And we got our, legs underneath us.
Yeah, so let's dig into these last few games a little bit. Obviously it was a tougher month in November, but I mean, started to heat up at the end, 3-0-1 in the last four. And, you know, from the outside perspective, things have been kind of progressively been getting better in each one of those games. What have you seen?
Yeah, well, I think we're playing pretty decent hockey. I think there's still, I guess, room for us to grow. I think just, but the way we've been playing, we've been competing more, you know, sticking with the structure, getting pucks deep, making the play when the play's there, you know, getting it deep. But yeah, I think we're starting to play the way we can, and, you know, we got to keep going and keep building off it.
You know, interesting, yesterday when we had a chance to talk to Jeff Ward, he had a few interesting comments about wanting to meet with every player this week and just kind of make sure everybody's on the same page. And he used a word that I found interesting anyway, empowered. You know, he wants you guys to be a part of the conversation and the decision-making process. Not that maybe that didn't exist before, but I mean, obviously having those meetings and having him on the staff, even going back to last year, what have you seen in him as a coach?
Yeah, he's a good coach. He's smart. And the point on that, I think he wants everybody's kind of intel, I guess, especially from, I guess, the older guys, right, and even from the younger guys. But I think just, you know, getting people's, getting our players' feedback and what they want and, you know, how they feel, whatever it is, just maybe on game days or, you know, what we want to do in practice, if we want to battle more, or whatever it may be, right? So he's kind of using the information that I guess we're almost giving him to, you know, to help us, right? And, you know, that's good. And just me personally, I think just with him, you could ask for, I guess, help. And, you know, he shows you some video clips and just always wants you to be better. And, you know, just, and that helps the team be better.
So on that note, how has, you know, from the player's standpoint, how has it evolved maybe over the last few years and how you interact with your coaches at every level? Because obviously we know technology is, of course, a big part of it with you're getting immediate feedback on the bench and you're looking at it the following day and now you're having these more personal conversations. Is it a lot different than maybe it was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I'd say so. But I like you said, all the video and, you know, all the feedback, it's good, right? Because you want to, I guess, learn from your mistakes. Not necessarily, I guess, you're doing the wrong play or whatnot, but if everybody's, I guess, on the same page, you know, you can build off each other, right? I think that's important now in today's game. And, you know, that, I guess, comes from a lot from video. And yeah, it's good.
Let's go back a little bit and talk about your time in Barrie. And obviously that shaped you into the player you are today. But when we talked to you a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about how you're always doubted. You were kind of that underdog guy, made it as a walk-on. How did that opportunity in Barrie come about, and maybe what did you do to make such a strong impression on them?
Yeah, it was kind of a mess of a road and all that, but it was basically started in hockey, high school hockey, sorry. One of my friend's dads knew the assistant coach, Todd Miller.
Okay.
So then they invited me out to, one of Todd Miller's camps out in, you know, Wasaga Beach, and, you know, and I just kind of did good there, and then they invited me from there to, you know, Barrie's camp, and then I just basically played good at Barrie's camp, and I was a walk-on free agent there, and I got to give thanks, you know, Dale and Todd and, you know, the whole, I guess, Barrie staff organization, and, you know, they were great to me. I don't know what I'd be doing right now if it wasn't for them. I don't know where I'd be playing, but yeah, it was honestly, it was just it's a crazy moment. It's still kind of surreal if I look back on it to where I am today. It was a crazy story, but, you know, I'm happy it happened.
So at that point then, where was your hockey career going at that point? Did you know, or was hockey even maybe doubted at that point?
Yeah, a little bit, right? I think I went to Barrie just not to make the team. It was to, you know, almost measure myself up against, you know, other players that were drafted in the first round and all that, just because I thought I was a good player. I think my, you know, my parents thought I was a good player, but I don't know. There was so much, I guess, doubt in people's minds because I don't know, right? So it was just I was going there. Obviously, I'd love to make the team, and that was my mindset going in, but it was really, okay, let's see if I have a career. Let's see if these guys are really, you know, really amazing and everything. And I'm just kind of, I don't know, just blocked off type thing, right? But it was, yeah, it was just, it's crazy. I was probably thinking going NCAA as well, right? I was a smaller player, right? And you look like a lot of smaller players go NCAA, like, you know, Johnny and everyone. So that was my, I guess, my plan was to try to go NCAA, and, you know, I was doing good at school, but yeah, and then this opportunity came, and I, you know, I jumped on it.
Yeah, but never lost sight of hockey, clearly, right? It was always, you were, no matter what you wanted to do, you wanted to find a path somewhere, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? So it was always, I was told always, though, NCAA, go NCAA, smaller guy, just go get your, go get your schooling and everything. And I was like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, Barry kind of offered me a spot, and then I just kind of took it.
Nice. Did you, you were considering NCAA. Was there any educational component there that interests you too? Or?
Nothing really. Yeah. Not yet. I was just kind of still focusing. Early, yeah. I was still focusing on just getting good grades at the time, right? And I know you had to do your SATs and do all that. So I was actually studying for those, you know, planning to write it and whatever. And then just never end up happening.
Nice. Well, you were ready anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and then, okay, so you get that opportunity, you make the most of it, and clearly so many good players have come out of that program. And in your time, I think everybody gravitates to the, you know, the Kevin LeBancs, of course, Rasmus Anderson here too.
Yeah.
Starting with LeBanc, I mean, you guys had really good chemistry, it seemed, on the outside. What kind of led to that, and how was your relationship to be as dominant as you two were at that level?
Yeah, I don't, honestly, we just always, I guess, just kind of gelled, right? I think my first year and his first year, he drove me all the time to school and to the rink and all that. We lived pretty close to each other. So I think that's where we kind of built our chemistry. We were always together for, you know, going to the rink, going to school, you know, going back to the rink, dropping me off, and then doing the same thing the next day, right? So we built a lot of chemistry out to start, and then just on the years, we just always kept hanging out and on and off the ice, and that's how we kind of, I guess, built our relationship.
And that's what it's like in junior. Hey, you can't like the guy or not. You're spending a lot of time with each other, right?
Yeah. So that's it's what the you're kind of moving away from home, and everybody's kind of in the same boat. So all the, you know, you're a close, I guess, group of players when you're in junior, right? And especially when they're close to your house, you're always, hey, you want to hang out type thing.
For
right?
sure.
Whatever it may be, whether it's video games or, you know, go and catch something to eat or go watch a movie, whatever it is, right? So you're always kind of, and he was kind of always my driver the first year because I didn't have a car. So, but yeah, it was good. And he was probably angry that he always had to drive me around. But
just being a good teammate, I
guess,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we see him here. But what type of guy was Rasmus Anderson when he was 17 or 18 years old?
He's still the same guy. So, no, he's always been the same guy. He's plays with a lot of confidence. He's a confident person, right? And that's who he is, right? So you gotta, I know that's how he is, but he's a great guy, right? You always joke and tease around with him and all that. So he actually lived pretty close to us as well in Barrie. So it was kind of always us three kind of always hanging out as well. So we built a great bond, and, you know, it was kind of surreal to be drafted to the same team. That was nice going into it, looking back on it. You don't really know anyone when you were kind of getting drafted, usually, right, and all that. So when I went to the camp and all that, and he was here, it's good to have, I guess, a buddy and a familiar face. So.
For sure.
And then we were roommates down in Stockton as well.
Oh, okay, right on.
For a year there. So, yeah, we were pretty close. But, yeah, he's a great guy, and just happy to, I guess, almost go through, I guess, the same path together.
Celebrate the Flames' 40th season with your friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group gathering, company event, or party with the Calgary Flames at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Group benefits include block seating, ticket savings, and designated coordinators to help you create the ultimate package. Unique group options include Sea of Red Reserved and Loft Experiences. For more info and to book a group event, visit calgaryflames.com/group. The Sea of Red lives here.
Coming in your first year and all that, you want to have a roommate just to live together, right? Because at that time, you're kind of, it's your first year, you're actually kind of, that's your first time living away for most guys, right? no billets, no nothing like that, right? So you got to learn how to cook and clean for yourself. So I was doing that for Razzie while he was sitting there watching TV. So that was good.
That doesn't sound like him.
No, it doesn't sound like him at all.
Not to go on the subject of Rasmus. I mean, we saw it the other day at practice. He laid you out pretty good, and then you gave him a shot back, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That almost seemed, because he didn't stop chirping at all after that for the rest of practice. Is that kind of him going back to his junior days too?
Oh, yeah, but that's what it is. We're kind of like brothers and all that. We've been together for so long that if he hits me, I'm not happy. If I hit him, he's not happy. So it's a little, I guess, give and take there, and brotherly love, I guess.
Yeah, you got full value out of that shot.
Needed to.
On the subject of Barry, I mean, Hockey Fights Cancer Month just wrapped up, and obviously great program, a number of great initiatives by all 31 teams in the league, and we know that Dale Hawerchuk's going through a tough battle right now, but as a coach and a mentor to you over the years, what did he mean to you, and do you still kind of lean on him a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely, I guess, sad. I didn't know that he's going through all this, but he's a strong guy, so I'm sure he'll make it out and everything. So Justin Barry, he was just kind of always there for me, right? Me being undrafted, like I said, and you know, he was kind of bringing me in, and he kind of believed in me, and you know, that gave me belief in almost myself that, you know, Dale Hawerchuk likes me. That's a big compliment, right? So I still keep in touch with him and, you know, ask him for, you know, advice and everything like that. And I still go golfing with his son and all that. So I still see them around. And if I go up to Barry, I'll say hi and all that. So it's definitely sad what's going on, but you know, I'm sure you'll make it out of it.
Yeah, he's a fighter, that's for sure.
Yes.
When you get out there too, I mean, you talk about being a walk-on. Is that almost a starstruck kind of moment where you're on the ice and then all of a sudden, whoa, This is one of the best players to ever play the game now, and you're kind of learning things from under him.
Yeah, he still has it too when he goes out.
He does,
there, right?
Yeah.
So he's there. I get why they call him Ducky and everything like that. But he goes out there and he still flick of the wrist, goes bar down, and you know, you're just there watching him going, oh wow, that's pretty good.
Yep.
Don't know how he's doing that, but it somehow always goes in. So yeah, he's a great guy, and I wouldn't be here without him.
Yeah, it's crazy. We were watching him at the Heritage Classic a couple of years ago, and he was just ripping around there. Yeah. The thing about those guys, too, they're just so competitive, and that never leaves them, right?
No, I know. Even whatever we were doing, I guess 3-on-3 battles, he'd still be playing with us, and he'd still be in there and, you know, competing and, you know, trying to score and doing all that, right? So it's that's who he is, and, you know, he's become very competitive, and, you know, he'll make it out of it.
When you're a young guy breaking into the NHL, you obviously look at a lot of mentors. I'm sure you've had a lot in your life and in your career to this point. But anybody in particular in this dressing room that you've leaned on and sort of helped you make that transition?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys, right? I think last year was big when I was playing with Doc. He was kind of, we were line mates, so I kind of always, you know, if I didn't know a drill or if I didn't know what to do in a game or whatnot, it was always, you know, he was kind of always knew what to do. And, you know, I think that was big for me coming in, right? Just, and he, I guess, let me play with confidence, right? He said, you know, don't worry, man, you know, play your game, play with confidence, right? So he was kind of the big guy for me coming into it just because, you know, I think I was struggling with my confidence, and he kind of, I guess, helped me out of it and, you know, kept me calm. And, you know, that just, I guess, just that, I guess the line, even whatever, Hathaway, when he was here last year, that was just those, I guess, two, I guess, I don't know, it was just kind of helped me get out of, I guess, the, you know, the lack of confidence on him. It helped me play with confidence. And then from there, it was just, you know, it was just, I guess then we just started to play good. Right?
Yeah, and that's, confidence is, I mean, we know that's key, but I mean, for a guy too, you were, you know, putting up the points that you were in junior and probably found the transition difficult, as every player does, right? Yeah. That's probably what you're referring to in terms of confidence?
Yeah, exactly, right? It was always, you know, do I make the play or do I, you know, play the safe card and, you know, dump it in, or should I make, you know, make the extra pass that's there and it's open, and, right? And it was just, you know it coming up. Everyone says, you know, don't dip your toe in the water. Just kind of dive in and all that, right? So you knew it and all that, and it was just more okay. Almost first couple of games was almost a feel out process, but you can't do that, right? You gotta kind of showcase what you have, right? And you know, that's they helped me do that.
You said that Rasmus was your roommate. Do you still have a roommate on the road, or no? You're alone now.
Yeah, alone now.
You graduated.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah.
Kicked him out. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
I know some of the guys are heavy into gaming and things like that on the road. Is that you?
Not on the road. Sometimes I'll play at home and all that. But yeah, it's not too much.
No. Okay. Yeah. What kind of stuff do you like to get to away from the rink? I know time is limited, but maybe a stretch where you get some time off like this one. What do you like to get up to around the city?
Yeah, that's tough, honestly. usually just like to hang out with a lot of the guys, right? I don't know, do some things around the house. I don't do too much, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right, just keep the house tidy, get some groceries, do those things. But yeah, I just mostly hang out with the guys and get together, whatever it may be, watch football or whatever. I'm a pretty simple guy.
Yeah, but it's funny you say that almost jokingly, but it's true, right? Because you're playing every other day, and it's almost like rest.
Yeah.
I mean, more than ever, right? That's probably becoming a big component of your life during the season, right?
100%, right? I think that's key. I think preparation is, key, and that's getting your rest when you can, right? Like you said, we almost play every other day. So when you get a couple of days off, you're kind of almost, okay, I just want to almost relax, watch TV, just keep it mellow or whatever, right? So just, it's true, but yeah, I don't do too much, but yeah.
Your last name, obviously, I'm sure you've seen it on the scoreboard, the fancy graphics and stuff that have been created, but the literal translation we all know about. But did you grow up, was it a traditional Italian upbringing, or what would you say?
Yes and no. My dad's, Italian and all that, and that's obviously where I get the last name from and everything. So I go over to his side and, I go to my nonno and nonna's, I guess house, and then you have all the traditional foods and everything. But then my mom, she's Scottish and Polish, so then it's all go over to my grandmother's side, and then we do all the Scottish dances or whatnot at New Year's and stuff like that, right? So I get the best of both worlds there, and yeah, it's fun.
Are there any Scottish or Italian holiday events that you'll be?
No, everyone, I guess, just all Christmas and New Year's and all that, right? So I know. My grandmother, when we go over to, her house, we do some, I couldn't even tell you what it is. It's some dance, I don't even know, but it's one of the traditions that I guess she's kind of been passing on.
Awesome. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you doing this. And fans, thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.